You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. My guest is Colette Atkins. She serves as the Carnivore Conservation Program Director and Senior Attorney at the Center for Biological Diversity. Recently, the center filed a notice of intent to sue the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service for refusing to develop a national gray wolf recovery plan under the Endangered Species Act. Last month, the Trump administration claimed that protecting the gray wolf under the Endangered Species Act is no longer appropriate. Colette, help us unpack what's happening. Welcome to the Exchange.
Thanks for having me.
Tell me what's going on.
Yeah, so, under the Biden administration, there was a promise to prepare a recovery plan for gray wolves across the country. And what we found out last month is that the Trump administration is reversing course and that they're once again planning to remove protections from wolves across the country, even though there's so much that still needs to be done to recover wolves.
So when you say they're reversing course, unpack that for me. What does that mean?
Right. So the Trump administration made a finding that wolves don't need a recovery plan because they're already recovered. But there's a couple things wrong with that. First of all, we already had a court ruling that said that wolves do need a recovery plan because there's never been one prepared for the entity that's listed. You know, wolves are listed across the lower 48, except for a population in the Northern Rockies where they lost protections through a congressional action. But everywhere else, they remain listed, you know, all across the West Coast states, Oregon, California, Washington, the Southern Rockies of Oregon, the Northeast states like Maine. None of those places have a recovery plan. But the Trump administration thinks that because there has been progress towards recovery made in Minnesota and the other Great Lakes states, that that's good enough and that the wolf should be removed from the Endangered Species Act list. And they really just want to wash their hands of this recovery program. This is really dangerous because there's been a lot of progress made, but more work to be done. We need wolves to recover in places where there's just abundant habitat and where they could once again serve their important ecological role.
Well, forgive me for getting into the weeds, but I'm hearing a couple of things here. One, I hear that there's a court ruling that was establishing the federal government, a federal government mandate to create a protection plan. I'm also hearing that the Trump administration has stated that the wolves are recovered, so they don't need a plan. And these two positions and what I'm hearing you say are not giving me enough information to understand why the Trump administration is saying that the wolves have recovered and why you're saying that recovery is insufficient. So can we get into some of the data? What does the data say?
Sure. So this is familiar to us because under the first Trump administration, they also tried to remove protections from wolves across the country. A court in the Northern District of California found that that was unlawful, and that decision right now is up on appeal before the Ninth Circuit. Part of the reason why the court found that to be unlawful is because there are just so few wolves on the ground compared to how many were there historically. And the number of wolves that we have now is much lower than what scientists believe is necessary to avoid a long-term risk of extinction. So to get into the specifics here, the Fish and Wildlife Service recently estimated the total wolf population in the Western Great Lakes region around Minnesota, where I live, Wisconsin, Michigan, to be just around 5,000 wolves.
Okay.
But scientists say that wolf populations need at least 10,000 individuals to avoid a risk of extinction. In the Western United States, the most recent estimates are just under about 3,000 wolves. So, even more dire there. If you look at individual states, California, Oregon, Washington, there's no reasonable way to conclude that there's enough wolves in those states to have, robust populations that can serve their ecological roles, that can ensure against long-term extinction risk. The Trump administration's position really comes from a very unambitious view of what the Endangered Species Act requires and what recovery looks like. What they want to do is just point to the few places where wolves have made progress towards recovery, like in the Great Lakes states or around Yellowstone National Park, and say that's good enough. But there's so many places where wolves once were, where they're just starting to come back, where amazing habitat with abundant prey, wild prey exists. But the Trump administration doesn't think we need recovery in those areas. And that's fundamentally a misinterpretation of the Endangered Species Act and what it requires. And courts have told the Fish and Wildlife Service that time and time again, which is why we've had this long history of on and off protections for wolves going all the way back to the early 2000s. I mean, when I first became a lawyer, when I was still in law school, this is one of the first cases I worked on. And 2 decades later, I'm still working on this and pushing back on the same really misguided arguments that, if you've got wolves in a couple places, that's good enough. That's not what the Endangered Species Act requires. They require recovery in all significant portions of their range. That's the legal standard there. And we've got court rulings that define significant portion of the range to look at places where they once were and could live again, not just where they are now.
My guest is Colette Adkins. She serves as the Carnivore Conservation Program Director and Senior Attorney at the Center for Biological Diversity. So, Colette, I'm hearing a couple of things here. One, I'm hearing that the wolves have not reached a recovery stage that is sufficient in your description. And it has they have reached a recovery stage that is sufficient in the Trump administration's description. Those two seem to be worlds apart. So, if we're talking, and you gave me some data, which I appreciate. If we're talking data, what level of population do you need to see and confirm in order for your side of the argument to say, okay, we have reached a level of recovery that is adequate?
And it depends on particular species needs, but we've got scientists that have looked for at wolf populations in particular and have concluded that they may require as many as 10,000 individuals to avoid risk of extinction. And the science on this becomes more robust every year. That's part of the problem with the Trump administration relying on these old, outdated recovery plans that were prepared back in the 1990s that were terribly unambitious. Those don't reflect modern science on what species need for population viability over the long term. They don't incorporate what we know in terms of the science on genetic health, the importance of connectivity. So, for example, the Trump administration just wants to point to wolves in a couple areas. But what the science shows is that you need multiple interconnected populations that can allow for genetic exchange to ensure that we don't have inbreeding, to ensure that the population has the genetic variability to withstand the threats that they'll face over time, threats like climate change, habitat fragmentation, et cetera, drought. So we can't just rely on these core populations that frankly have been there, for many years, and the courts have many times said that that level of recovery isn't enough. And what's particularly dangerous here is that we know what happens when those populations lose their federal protections. We've seen it before. So in the Great Lakes states, under the first Trump administration, when they removed their protections, Wisconsin responded with a hunting season that killed more than 200 wolves in 3 days. That was about a 25% to about a third of the wolf population in just a few days. So all the work and resources that have gone into recovering these populations, that can be just dismantled in literally a number of days if the court doesn't step in to set aside these decisions.
Okay, so these protections were restraining and constraining the behavior of men who wanted to go and kill these animals. Am I understanding that correctly?
Right. Once a species is listed under the Endangered Species Act, they've got an incredible suite of protections. It's why the Endangered Species Act is one of the most powerful environmental laws that we have. So when they're listed as endangered, they can't be killed except for in defense of human life. So they can't be hunted. They can't be killed to benefit the livestock industry. And that's partly why wolves become a controversial species and why politicians often want to remove the protections before the science would support that.
Okay, so what I'm understanding is that these protections are protecting the wolves from men.
Yeah, it's, you know, people are the primary threat to wolves.
What
it comes down to is wolves do just fine as long as we don't kill them. They're incredibly resilient animals, and but they can be overexploited quite easily, especially considering, you know, all the ways that we can, you know, all the tools we have to kill wolves now. Like in Wisconsin, what happened is that groups of hunters using packs of hounds chasing wolves with snowmobiles were able to just incredibly efficiently decimate that population very quickly. We've seen in the Northern Rocky Mountain states that also don't have protections, the Fish and Wildlife Service has protected great declines.
Okay, so we only have a couple of minutes, and I want to get a couple of more questions in here. But just for clarity, so humans are the biggest threat to wolves, and the protections are to limit and restrain humans from this kind of behavior that's a threat to the wolves. Am I understanding? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So are wolves a keystone species?
Yes, wolves are a keystone species because they just serve these really important ecological roles. They're at the top of the food chain, so they impact the behavior of all the animals that are below them in the food chain. So scientists show that, you know, even public health is affected by wolf protections because wolves help keep deer off of roadways where they cause collisions with cars and are a risk to human safety. But on the ecological level, they make deer and elk populations so much healthier by eliminating the weak and the sick, and they prevent over-browsing, which can affect vegetation diversity and allow us to have beautiful songbird populations. So, yeah, wolves are incredibly important to the ecosystems where they live.
I have about 60 seconds, and I've got two questions. So,
okay.
Very briefly, how do the ranchers feel about the wolves, and how do the native populations feel about the wolves?
Well, I don't think either of those groups are monolithic, and there are some ranchers that really know how to coexist with wolves by using common sense measures like not leaving out dead livestock that could attract wolves, using guard dogs and fencing. There are a lot of tribal nations that respect wolves as part of their origin story in terms of being a brother to wolves, and really don't want them hunted and killed. But, you know, there's a lot of diversity of opinions. At the end of the day, though, the science should drive decisions about whether the wolf should be listed or not.
Okay, and we'll have to leave it there. Thank you, Colette.
Thank you.
My guest was Colette Atkins, a senior attorney at the Center for Biological Diversity. I'm Mike Green. You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio.